Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your favorite time of week. You download the crazy sheets, you get your favorite podcasting out. You get you a warm cup of coffee if you're on your way to work. You get you a cold beverage if you're sitting outside to get ready to talk about some football. And you get ready for the crazy sheet. I'm Mark, and I'm here in the podcasting studio. And Scott, of course, is not at home tonight. I have no idea where he is, but I'm glad he's here. Scott, how the hell are you, and where the hell are you?
I'm great. I'm in Orlando. 49th birthday, Marky. 49th on the road, hanging out, ready to talk some football, baby. We're going to talk Burt Bielema tonight.
We are going to talk some Burt Bielema. Tonight, we're going to talk about the Big Ten. We're going to talk about the American. We're going to try to give you some actionable plays, give you some highlights that you can go dig into. It's been a week or two, Scott, since we've gotten together. And I got to say, sad day for me this weekend when I found out about the loss of Bobby Bowden. I know we joke a lot, man, on this podcast, but man, if there's a guy that made me love college football, Bobby Bowden did that, and he impacted the game so much, so many coaches, so many players. I was sad to see him go. It was a big loss to the college football family, and my heart's out to them.
I agree with that. I will say, Bobby Bowden made, look, there's a whole generation of college football fans, and a lot of them are listening to this podcast pre-playoff that don't understand that Bobby Bowden finished in the top five 14 years in a row without a playoff. That guy invented the modern college football dynasty. I heard a great interview with about Bobby Bowden and why he chose to go to Florida State. And it was Tim Brando, and he said that Bowden was more of a visionary. When you listen to this interview and Brando talking about why he chose Florida State, it was just you don't realize how much of a visionary he was. He chose to pattern his program after LSU. He wanted to play night games, because he knew he couldn't compete with Florida. He thought, you know what, if we play night games and I'm in a state capital, I can make it a big event. And we got a chance to build a program. It's a guy who came from West Virginia, where it was the whole state focused around it. And he thought, man, we got great weather. We got great talent. Man, I can't offer enough kids with talent around here to get these guys to come to campus. He saw the opportunity and was a visionary. And people don't realize the job he did. Florida State was an all-men's program when Lee Corso was playing there. I mean, people don't realize that was a bad program when he took that job. And I just, kudos to Bobby Bowden. Look, we can all be measured in a lot of different ways. God's going to measure us in one way, and Bobby Bowden measured up.
I would agree. I was sad to see him go. If you get a chance, I'll put the link in the notes for the podcast. If you're listening to the Bobby Bowden Dynasty website, you can buy the DVD. If you get a chance, you can't stream it yet, but if you get a chance, get the DVD. This isn't a paid sponsorship. It's $20. Buy it. If you love football, you'll love it. If you got kids that love football and you want to watch it with them, it's a great story about faith family football and just how much he did for the game. It was incredible. So I was sad to see him go. I think there'll be a great celebration for him throughout the season this year, which I'm excited to see some of that. But Scott, we're getting just a...
He was a guy that made you enjoy college football.
Oh, yeah.
He made you enjoy college football. Those Miami, Florida State games, for the people that are younger than us, and I know you were transitioning, and Bobby Bowden was just a different cat. I mean, you just can't appreciate him if you didn't grow up during that legacy. I really don't think you can. And that guy had so much talent coming through that program. And if there's a modern-day playoff, Bobby Bowden might have had 6 or 7 national championships. I mean, they lost 5 times on a wide right field goal that kept them from winning a national championship. And it just, the bottom line is, if there's a 14 playoff, they're in it every year for 14 years. And I think they might have won more than half of them. They were a really, really good program. Bobby Bowden was a really, really good man. The deal is nobody talks bad about Bobby Bowden. The players that played for him loved him. The people that worked with him, the people that interviewed him, nobody says anything bad about Bobby Bowden. You know, even Steve Spurrier doesn't say anything bad about Bobby Bowden. That is the true measure of a man. And we lost a legend in the college football business.
We did. We did. And Scott, transitioning into today's game, I'll throw this out because we've talked about the NIL stuff just a bit and how it's going to change the game. If you get a chance, go out and Google Quentin Ewers, quarterback from the Dallas area, won the state championship as a junior, was rated as one of the top quarterbacks in the country, and he has officially opted out.
Oh, I knew you were going to go here. I knew you.
He has opted out of his senior year. He's going to enroll at Ohio State in January, which is not abnormal. But the reason he opted out is the Texas governing body of sports, which is the University Interscholastic League, had said that they're not on board with the NIL, and they are not for players getting paid to do it. And there's a kombucha company that came in and offered the kid six figures, and he's got a couple of other deals to be their sponsor. And so he will sit out his senior season and get ready to go play at Ohio State next year.
Like I said, this is Pandora's box, and all these athletic directors that thought it wasn't going to be a big deal. Yeah, well, that's what you're going to get. I will tell you, don't know. I know this kid's a great player. Don't know how nor where about him as an individual. This isn't a shot at him. My experience watching guys who had a bunch of hoopla and were looking for money and all those things during the recruiting process, it generally didn't turn out well. I'd have no idea how this NIL deal is going to turn out. But, man, you just go play. You got a lot to prove.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting. This is going to be interesting. And he won't be the last. And he's the first. And it's not a shot at him. And, look, man, take the money. Get paid while you can pay. I mean, the numbers to go into the NFL are minor. And if you can make several hundred thousand dollars while you're in college, more power to you. I'm not taking a shot at that kid at all. You got to get paid while you can get paid. These are all the things that I think are bad with it.
It's going to be wild.
I'm an old school guy. I'll readily admit that I'm an old school guy. I think college is worth something. I don't think you can say that, we need NIL. I need to get paid, name, image, likeness, and college scholarship's not worth anything. But then we need to tell America that the average student, college is so important that it ought to be free. There's a line somewhere in there. So, you know, that's just me. I'm old school. I got a lot out of it, you know.
The only other thing that I saw on a lighter note from that this week or last week was that Tate Martell is enrolled at UNLV and has 2 years of eligibility left. Now, if you haven't been
boomerang, with us, baby, can we say boomerang?
If you haven't been with us for years, you may not know. But my man Tate Martell was originally committed to Washington, decommitted, then committed to Texas A&M. When he committed to Texas A&M, Kevin Sumlin was the coach. Johnny Manziel was on the roster. Decommitted there, ends up at Ohio State. He's going to be the starter. Can't beat out Fields and withdraws like 12 days after he hits campus. Shows up in Miami, goes from being a quarterback to a flanker to who knows where he was. He opts out of last season, and now he's back in Vegas at his home school with 2 years of eligibility left. That guy might be 30 years old when he finishes his college career.
I mean, that guy, Joe Lewis, was 137 years old when he bought him. I mean, it is awesome. I mean, it is. I'm telling you, look, anybody that's listened to us for more than 8 seconds knows I hate the transfer portal. I hate all of it. Put your head down and go to work. Put your head down and go to work. Just go to work. Go beat the guy out. What happened to working hard? Let me transfer. That guy's been to more schools I mean, it's then I've had jobs in my career.
It's awesome.
I mean, seriously, in my career, he's been to more schools in five, six years than I've had jobs. I mean, it is, put your head down and go to work. Be better than the other guy. What happened? What happened to being better? You know what? I'm gonna go beat this guy out. I'm better than he is. I'm gonna go earn the job. That's a lost art. It's not being lost on all those kids I'm coaching right now. Put your head down and go be better than that guy. Go to work. And you know what? At the end of the day, I think it pays off for the kids that do it. That's the bottom line.
Well, that being said, it's a perfect segue into the conference. It is a Power 5 conference that is the biggest lunch pail, go-to-work conference in the Big Ten. You still got teams that are grinding it out up here. You've got teams that have transitioned that are flying all over the place. They have learned how to recruit. Ohio State has been dominant. We've seen Michigan fall. Jimmy Harbaugh is in his seventh season now at Michigan. And there's a lot of hoopla around the fact that he's still there. He got a contract extension. Is Michigan even relevant at this point? I have no idea. It is just all over the place. But when you look at the Big Ten, you obviously got to start at the top in Ohio State. As we do every time, we're not going to go through rosters and plow through everything. We're going to try to give you some actionable items. Ohio State, when you look at this team, the over-under win total at DraftKings is 11. When you go look at their schedule, the only game on their schedule I could possibly see them losing is the Oregon game early in the season, and they're hosting that one at the Shoe. I cannot see Ohio State losing two games. But where I think we could see Ohio State struggle could be to cover some of these lines that are going to come out early in the season especially. They got a new quarterback up there. The defense last year gave up some big plays. And I know everybody was dealing with COVID, but they struggled in the secondary last year. I still think they're going to fling it. C.J. Stroud's got a lot of hype and notoriety around him, so we'll think go from there. I think Ryan Day is a genius in college football minds. He's going to be at Ohio State for a long, long time. I think he was a great hire, and he's done a hell of a job taking over from Urban Meyer. And I like everything about him. They've got a great roster. They just signed their last recruit a few weeks ago, which was a five-star defensive tackle. He's a freshman coming out of the Pacific Northwest. And so this team's still going to be awesome. I mean, they're still, to me, heavy favorites to win the Big Ten. But I do think this team is a lot more susceptible than they have been in the past. They gave up some big yards last year in some games. I mean, they got just gashed against Minnesota, and then they turned around and you know, they shut it down and they figured out a way to keep moving and win. But I'm just telling you, man, I think there's some opportunities with these big numbers that Ohio State's going to put out every week that we can find some backdoor covers if you're watching this team closely.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. And I also think this roster's got a few holes.
Yeah.
You know, I think they are a good football I mean, look, they've recruited at an elite level. But they're also replacing a great quarterback. They have struggled up front on both sides of the ball a little bit against the elite teams. And so there's some question marks on this team. And the bottom line is, I think there's some teams in the Big Ten that have, look, Penn State has got to be better than they were last year, or they're looking for a football coach. I mean, that's the bottom line. They were abysmal. They were, and I'm going to chalk a lot of that up to, you know, look, I think these Big Ten team schools, you can't judge them at all about what went on for their season last year because of the way the Big Ten handled the entire season. They weren't going to play, then they're going to play, and then it's all, and then they had different rules than everybody else did about kids testing and positive. And so I think you got to check all that at the box. Like, I don't think Penn State is nearly as bad of a program as they looked last year. I think James Franklin is a good football coach. I've always believed that. I think he's recruited better than people think. You know, I think they've got a chance to really pop up. But they were awful last year. I mean, that was a bad football team. If you're judging them honestly, it wasn't a good football team. Does anybody really think that's going to happen in this environment? No, I don't think that. And so I think the Big Ten is really, I think it's a fascinating league. Anybody that's listened to us knows I love this league. I love this league. I love the SEC and I love the Big Ten. And I don't think anybody else plays as good a football as those two teams, yeah, as those two leagues. Period. End of story. I think you take the best five of those leagues and they'll kick the shit out of the best five in every other league. That's my honest opinion. Every year in, year out, these teams are great. And you can see it in bowl records. The SEC and the Big Ten play a ton. Man, they go at it. And I understand bowls aren't true reference. Man, the SEC teams get fired up to play those guys, and they get fired up to play SEC teams. I think it's a pretty good measuring stick as a whole. I think they get – it's not a six versus a one or somebody's overmatched and they get boat raced. It's never like that, I think. And look at the NFL draft. Big Ten's always got a ton of guys getting drafted. Those are the two best leagues in football. At the end of the day, I think everybody's chasing them. I like this league. I love them. This is going to be a fascinating year because I don't think there's a dominant program. I just think Ohio State is a year away from getting back to being just fully dominant. But I also don't think there's anybody else that's going to challenge them. I think Ohio State's probably still going to win this league. Wisconsin, which we're going to get into, is the guy that I like with a chance to sneak up. But I think there's a lot of really good football teams, just like the SEC. I think the middle of the pack, the meat, is what makes the Illinois and teams like that that I think are going to be better this year. That I think are going to kind of raise the bottom of the league. Look, I think Rutgers is going to be better than they've been. You know, just because I think Shiano's a good football coach. I think Tennessee's stupid, and I like Clay Travis, and I follow his website, but I think he's an idiot for not letting them hire him at Tennessee. He's got them in a totally different place than where Tennessee is right now. If Shiano takes that job, I think he's a good football coach, and he should have gotten his ass out of the way and let them hire a good football coach.
So moving on, let's talk about somewhere we got some action. Wisconsin, over-under win total, DraftKings, and pretty much widely available is 9.5. Wisconsin's an interesting squad. This team last year came out first game against Illinois, started Graham Mertz. You had the quarterback actually that was – he beat out is now the quarterback at Notre Dame in Jack Cohn. And this team comes in. He had a great game, and then they get ravaged by COVID. And like you said, with the Big Ten rules, how that had to work, you had players had to sit out for weeks. They lost a lot of their roster. They missed games. They really never got into a momentous flow. And Wisconsin's a team that needs that because they just grind it out. They beat you to death. They can throw it over the top when they need to. Mertz has proved that he can do it. I think he's going to have a good year. I think last year he just didn't get a chance to get in any rhythm. Their schedule sets up really nice as far as I'm concerned for 9.5 wins. They open the season at home against Wisconsin. I mean, against Penn State. They're 4 to 4.5 point favorites in that one. Another big game they've got on the schedule is they
play. That is such a gigantic game.
Oh, it's awesome.
Such a gigantic game.
And then they've got Notre Dame. They're playing that game in Chicago. They've got the weird game against Army at home. They've got Michigan at home. They've got Iowa at home. They've got Northwestern at home. All the possible traps in this schedule, they catch them at Camp Randall. And that is a really, really hard place to pull an upset. And when you're talking about Michigan, Army, Iowa, Northwestern all having to come there, and then you're catching Notre Dame on a neutral, the only possible game I could see this team losing would be at the very end of the season, and that would be if Minnesota can just go balls lights out. And even if they lose, you know, I mean, but I just can't see them losing to Penn State, Notre Dame, and one of these other teams on their schedule. 9.5 wins for Whiskey. Color me in. I've already laid the money. I like Wisconsin in this spot. I'm pretty excited about him. And I love the continuity of this coaching staff. Paul Christ has come in. He's been there. Offensive coordinator's been there. This is his 7th season. And then you go to the defensive side of the ball. I mean, you want to talk about some great defensive coordinators. Chris Ash, Dave Aranda, Justin Wilcox, Jim Leonard. And Leonard had
How does Jim Leonard not have a job yet?
Jim Leonard supposedly.
I mean, you got all these guys hiring jackasses, and Jim Leonard's done a great job there. I mean, a phenomenal job. And you got ADs hiring stiffs. Oh, I mean, go hire Jim Leonard. Now, he may be saying no to some of these jobs because he probably can hang around and get a big-time job. But Jim Leonard's a phenomenal football coach. To your point, I'm going to boomerang away from this for just a second. But to tell you how much the Big Ten knows they fumbled it last year, look at their opening week games. At the end of the day, they didn't lay it down. There's no sisters of the poor. There ain't none of that. Ohio State's at Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota is a really good football program. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I think they got 20 or 21 starters back against a team that's got a lot of losses on the road for Ohio State. The Big Ten's laying out. They know they laid an egg. They got Penn State going to Wisconsin opening weekend. I mean, it's this way repeatedly every week. They know they laid an egg last year, and they let their fan bases down. They let the country down, and they are determined week one to reestablish themselves. Do your homework on this league. Find out where you want to bet. This is an opportunity to make some money, and I think Whiskey is one of these teams. I love it. I'm not necessarily telling you that I know Whiskey's going to cover the line against Penn State, because I think it's just two of the best three or four teams in this league. But my point being, you're going to find some value in some teams. I will tell you, I think Minnesota's going to have some value against Ohio State that opening weekend. That's a team with a shit ton of players back. I'll study that line hard. There is some money to be made this opening weekend in this league. That's what I like about this league. And now we'll boomerang back to Whiskey. I agree with you. There is very little doubt in my mind that this team, can they start? When you start talking about can you cover 9.5, 9 wins, something like, can you start 5, 6, 7, and 0? Look at the schedule and that's the bottom line. They got Penn State at home, Eastern Michigan, Notre Dame, neutral field, Chicago, all out. Notre Dame's going to have a lot of players there. If you ain't ever been to Madison, it ain't a real far drive. For most of the people listening to this podcast, they probably never made that drive from Chicago to Madison. It's about 1.5 hours. There's going to be a ton of Whiskey fans there. Trust me, that's a very neutral field. Notre Dame's going to be lucky if it is neutral. That, and then they've got at Illinois, Michigan, at Michigan at home, at Illinois. And I do them is going to have them better, which we're going to talk about. Army at home, at Purdue, Iowa at home. Man, you start getting into this schedule, and, man, they get a toss-up game and a neutral site. Man, they're 7-0, 8-0. You're talking about these guys making the playoffs. So, you know, I like this schedule. I like the 9.5. This is a team that I think's got a chance to make the playoff.
No, I definitely think they're going to be good. I think they do have a chance to win the Big Ten and make the playoff because I think they're going to have an impressive record. I like where they're going to go here. Scott, since you kind of talked about it a little bit, let's move on to my main man, Bert Bielema, who is now back in the Big Ten after leaving Wisconsin, moved down to Arkansas, didn't quite get it done there, coached a few years in the NFL. Now he's back in his home state of Illinois. After he takes over for Lovie Smith, let me throw you a couple things on why Lovie might have lost his job. I didn't know this, and I had to go verify it. Lovie Smith, in his 2020 signing class, signed exactly 0 players from the state of Illinois. He could not recruit his own backyard, couldn't get it done. I think that upset the fan base. I think that upset the alums. And frankly, they just weren't.
Mark, how are you the head coach of the Bears and can't sign one kid from Illinois?
That's crazy.
I mean, that's insane. I mean, seriously, I think I could be drunk and not travel. and sign one kid. I mean, seriously, I think I could just hang out and be like, let's call this guy tonight. Let's just check him out. You know, see if we, I mean, seriously, do you know how bad of a job that is? I mean, it's still Illinois. I understand his program hadn't been great. There's one big time school in this state. You can't sign one player from Illinois? Really? I mean, that's embarrassing.
It's my
bad. And I like Lovie Smith. He's a Texas guy. You know?
That being said, Bielema comes in here. Over under win total for Illinois is 3.5. When you dig into their schedule, they're going to be interesting. Bielema has come out. He's got 5 road graders, and he's got actually 7 or 8 linemen that actually have experience there. He's got 2 running backs that are going to be solid. Epstein's coming back. I like that kid a lot. He brought in Tony Peterson as offensive coordinator because he said he liked playing against him. I'm excited to see what this guy's going to do to Illinois. I definitely think Illinois is a stepping stone because I think Bielema wants to be back at Iowa one day when he gets a chance to go back to his alma mater. But I think this is going to be a team that is going to be harder to beat than most people think. I'm not saying they're going to come out and win the conference or go to a bowl this year. I mean, this is year zero of a rebuild for Illinois, without a doubt. But if you're looking at 3.5 wins and you start digging through this schedule, there's a lot of coin flip games in here. Rutgers, I think they're going to be better, but that's at home. It's going to be a coin flip. They get Charlotte. That's at home. I think they should win that game. They get Maryland with Mike Locksley coming to town. That's going to be a completely different style of philosophy when they play each other.
UTSA.
And they get UTSA. And I think UTSA is going to be really good.
Me too. In that conference. I do too. And so, I think they're going to be a good team in Sunbelt. I agree.
But my point being is you get a lot of coin flips out of this team. So if you think 3.5 is a number, do you think you could get there with the fight in the line?
But I here's the deal with Bielema. For me, I think he's a good football coach. I think the SEC was a difficult environment for him where he was. Arkansas is a hard job. And I think, you know, so many people look at, it's traditional jobs. I've told you this 1,000 times off air. Anybody that thinks Mississippi State and Ole Miss are the worst, because most people, when they look at the Southeastern Conference, they think it's Vandy and State, then Ole Miss, then South Carolina, and then or Kentucky, you mix some schools in. Anybody that thinks State and Ole Miss are down there and that are completely misinformed in my mind. Mississippi puts out a boo-koodle of talent every year. 6 most players drafted in the NFL over the last 3 years. You just got to keep kids at home. Those jobs are better than people think. This Illinois job, I think, is just the opposite. People look at it as it's an awful job, and there's a ton of talent coming out of Illinois. There's guys, and I think this fits Bielema's personality better. And I just think this is a better job than some people think. I just think it takes the right guy. I think Bielema may be the right guy for this job. I think it fits him better than the Southeastern Conference did. You got to have a little shine to do your deal. And he just didn't fit here. I think he tried to put a square peg in a round hole. And I'll admit, when Arkansas hired him, I thought that was a great hire. I thought he might do a great job. I was wrong. That's bottom line. But I think this could be a really, really good fit. Because regardless of what anybody thinks, he did a great job at Wisconsin. Bottom line is, this Illinois team, what they've got coming back, has got a lot of players. It's a schedule that they've got an opportunity to capitalize on. 3.5's worth the number here.
Scott, I'm going to stay in the state of Illinois, and let's move up to Evanston and talk about Pat Fitzgerald and the Fighting Cats that we've got from here. This team is really interesting to me, and I did some digging on this. So Northwestern obviously had a great season last year. Pat's had a few. That guy is a legend in Northwestern. This Northwestern football team is one of the few. The only teams that are not bringing back big numbers are the service academies, and the nerd schools. Northwestern, Vandy, Stanford, even Duke, they had a lot of kids leave because they know football is not in their future. But
that, being, their deal.
That being said, Northwestern had two kids drafted in the first round last year. Then they had seven kids sign free agent contracts off of this squad from last year. And Northwestern just does not recruit well enough to reload a roster the way that they need to from this standpoint. And Northwestern's always been a team that when they're the underdog, you're looking hard to bet. They open up the first weekend, again, to your point about getting the season started, they open up the first weekend hosting Michigan State. Mel Tucker coming in here, and that guy was barely given 4 days to get ready for last season. He comes in here, Northwestern's favored in this game. Northwestern lost a ton off of this roster. If you go back to the last time that Northwestern had a great season, the following season in 2019, they followed that up with a 3-9 season after that. Because you've got to kind of rebuild that roster from there. They lost a corner that went to the NFL in the first round. They lost an offensive tackle that went to the NFL in the first round. And then they lost what I would like to tell you, what I like to refer to is the Irish law firm in Patty Fisher and Blake Gallagher, the two linebackers that moved on and are both on NFL rosters currently. So when you look at this team, they're going to play a slow style of ball. They're going to play defense. They're always going to lean on that. This team had some breaks last year. They won the turnover battle. They brought in Ryan Helinski as the quarterback. I'm going to give you a yo stat real quick. My man Ryan Helinski, great story about his brother, him in South Carolina. He had 346 pass attempts through college so far. He has completed in that span only 40 passes over 20 yards. This guy's longest pass typically is a 9-yard pass. So they do not have the ability to blow the top off of this defense. If you're looking for Northwestern, I like the under here at 6.5. I don't think they're going to get to 6 wins. But what I really like about this team is I think you're going to get a lot of unders for game totals that we can bet in here because they're going to grind it out. They're going to find the players. But they do not have the talent this year to win 7 games. And they don't have a talent to stay within games. But they've got a coach that's smart enough to know that. And he's going to keep him in games by putting offensive game plans together that he's not going to expose a defense that can't cover people and can't make tackles.
Mark, I have made a lot of money over the years in finding teams that matched up with a lot of – and it's not even necessarily starters coming back as roster turnover. You know, a lot of teams, not only do they lose starters, but they lose backups, teams that platoon guys and things. But then there's also guys that didn't have – but they platoon guys, and it may look like they lost 5 starters, but they really got guys that played a ton of snaps, and so they got 11 guys back that know what they're doing. This year is the COVID year with the extra eligibility. Everybody has got a ton of starters back. That stat's out the window. I mean, you got to just totally do a whole new sort of research. And that stat was only good for the week 1 and 2. And that's what I made a ton of money the first couple of weeks every year. Like that opening weekend, you could make some money if I was right. And you're guessing, you know, the bottom line is you're guessing the returning guy's going to be better than the new talent guy. You're guessing. But I made a lot of money doing that over the years. Pat Fitzgerald's got 4 starters back on each side of the ball. When everybody else in America's got 9, 10, 11, I mean, on each side of the ball, 20, 21 start, nobody, just what you said, nerd schools, those guys are all running hedge funds. You know, I mean, those guys are going to make a lot more money not in the NFL than they would in the NFL. Oh, yeah. And this is a prime example. And he's got a transfer coming in, and Helinski, who was at best average at South Carolina. And the bottom line is it's not remotely the same football team. I'm going to be stunned if they win 6.5 games.
So give you one more, 2 things on Northwestern, then we'll move on. Northwestern's defensive coordinator retired after being with them for 20 some odd years.
ever.
I mean, just forever. And to your, just talk about game one, they're playing Michigan State. Northwestern is returning 29% of their production from last year on offense and 39% of their production on defense. Michigan State's returning 80% of their production on offense and 60% of their production on defense. And that doesn't include the fact that Rocky Lombardi now plays for Northern Illinois. The quarterback's gone for Michigan State. And they still are returning more production.
And Mark, Northwestern won by 9 last year. 29-20.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. I'm sorry. Lost 29-20. I mean, think about that. They already lost to that team. So are you telling me they're going to be favored week one? That's a game to win 6.5 games. In my mind, they got to win.
So it's going to be an interesting season. Scott, in the Big Ten, a couple other notes I'm looking at, and we'll blow through these real quick if you want to bring them up. I'm interested to see what Purdue's going to do. Rondell Moore moves on to the NFL. That guy was a game changer. They've got new quarterbacks in place, but both of them have experience. You've got David Bell, at wide receiver. That kid can blow the top off the defense. If they've got somebody else to match up with them, and they could be fun. The only person in the country that throws the ball more than Jeff Brohm is Mike Leach. 64% of their plays were pass plays in the last few years, so that guy likes to chunk it. If you start digging around a little bit, Iowa, I love Iowa. They're the grindedest out team. Hate betting against them because you never know if you're going to win because they literally can seem like hang around forever. I'm curious about the culture.
Never under until it's over.
Yeah. I'm curious about the culture. But one other team that I've really dug into is the Indiana Hoosiers. Hoosiers win total this season. Let me pull it up right quick for you. It's a little bit higher than I think it should be. And I love Tom Allen. He's one of my favorite coaches in the country. But this is they've got 8 wins is what their over-under win total is. So that means you got a flat number, which I already like that to begin with. But then secondly, if I came to you as an Indiana fan and said, hey, we're going to go 8-4 this year, are you going to be upset? The answer is hell no. This is not a program that is used to winning 9 football games. Indiana this year, they should have lost the game last year to Penn State, and everything went their way. They didn't have any injuries. They had some big plays that worked out for them. The turnover battle they won, everything went in their way. Michael Penix is a great athlete if you can keep him healthy. We'll see what's going to go on there. And I love Tom Allen, but I'm selling Indiana. I like the under in this spot here. I think they're going to really struggle this season compared to what they did last year.
I don't disagree with you. I will tell you this, and I said this to my friends. Tom Allen's who they should have hired at Ole Miss. He was their defense coordinator for a long time. And he's who they should have hired after they let go of Freeze and hired Tom Luke. I think he was the perfect fit. Now, look, Ole Miss has ended up in a better situation, but I don't think they have that down step. I think Allen was the perfect fit. I think he would have done a great job there. He wanted the job. They chose to stay with him. That was a mistake. At the end of the day, Indiana's a really, really difficult job. Again, there are jobs that are really, really hard to be successful in, and that is one of them. They just don't have that much talent in the state. They do. They're going to Notre Dame. I mean, that's the bottom line. And if they're not, Kentucky's just right down the road. You know, it's just a really, really hard job. I agree with you. I'm short selling these guys. Hard to duplicate it year after year after year. If I'm Tom Allen, I'm trying to parlay this into a job. And it may be a lateral move for some people, but at the end of the day, I'd be looking to transition off the success. Nebraska is the team that I am fascinated in the Big Ten. Watch. If Scott Frost can't get it done, who the hell can get it done? That guy was a stud there. He understands the program. He's from Nebraska. He did a phenomenal job building that UCF program. If he can't get it done, who can? This is year four. How much time do they give him? This is a fascinating job. A fascinating season to me. I cannot wait to see where they turn out. 17 starters back. It's going to be fascinating to watch out where they turn out.
They're going to hang on the ball. Adrian Martinez. The defense, everything I've read, seems to be like they're turning a corner, which is good. I think from an offensive perspective.
Martinez is 187 years old. I think he was playing quarterback when Chase was literally in kindergarten and my son's going into fifth grade. I have been talking about Adrian Martinez what feels like the entire time we've been doing this podcast. We've been doing it for 11 years.
He's been there a while. Their schedule sets up pretty well. They could actually come out of this thing realistically. They're going to lose to Oklahoma. They could beat Michigan State on the road. They can beat Northwestern at home. They've got Michigan. I mean, this team could be 5-6-1 when they host Michigan. And then the rest of their season, you know, at Minnesota, Purdue, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Iowa. I mean, they'll finish on a dud. I have no interest in betting this team at 6 wins because I don't trust what they're going to do. But I agree with you. This is an interesting, interesting team this season.
It'll stun me if they don't get over this. It'll stun me if they don't get bowl eligible. And I think because I think Scott Frost is a good football coach. I just don't think in the current setup people understand how hard the Nebraska job is. I really don't. There's so many people that put so much stock into traditionally this is a good – nobody gives a shit about tradition. They don't care. What can you do for me? This generation they're recruiting is all about me. They don't give a rip about tradition. They could care less. Mississippi State – has got every bit as much opportunity as Alabama if they can show what you can do for me. This is a me generation. And if you don't believe it, look at defensive line recruiting. Mississippi State has been going head to head with Bama for some great players. Fletcher Cox, Chris Jones. I mean, I just keep reeling them off. That final two were those guys. And it's constantly, the guys that chose State have done well. Made a bunch of money, and State's been successful for doing it. But there's been several that went to Alabama that have made a bunch of money too. And my point being, it's success. What can you sell for me? What can you for me? And Nebraska, it's hard to sell. You know, I need you to come 9 states over. It's going to be really cold. And you might be on national television and you might be the marquee team, or you know what? You can stay right down here and you're going to be on TV every week and you're going to play Alabama. You're going to play Texas A&M. You're going to play LSU. You're going to play Auburn, you know, all those schools. It is such a different scenario when Nebraska used to be on TV and be the marquee game. When I grew up, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Nebraska and Oklahoma don't even play. That was the marquee game when I was growing up. I mean, that was one of the games that you put your TV on. Oh, Nebraska and Oklahoma are playing this week. They don't even play now.
They do this year.
No, they don't.
Yo,
I don't think.
Nebraska and Oklahoma play this
well,
year.
That's right. They tried to buy out of it.
Yep, they did.
They tried to buy out of it. Oklahoma wouldn't let them. But – I mean, it is. I mean, it's such a different scenario. Nebraska, to me, is a fascinating team. I mean, this is the team of every team in the country. And all you guys make fun of me for everything goes back to Mississippi State. I want to watch Nebraska this year more than I want to watch any team. Because you want to talk about a team that's going to be mediocre for 2 or 3 decades if Scott Frost can't get it done. It's Nebraska.
I would agree with that.
I mean, they are an average football team. If this guy can't get them back to national relevance.
Scott, that being said, I'm done with the Big Ten. Unless you got something else, we can move on to the American Conference.
Nope, I don't.
Moving on to the American Conference, obviously the favorite to win the American is Cincy. You want to talk about a guy that's done a great job with the program in Luke Fickell. They got a ton of players coming back off this squad, including Desmond Ritter. Excuse me for that one. This is going to be a fun team to watch. They have some interesting games. They've got Indiana, third game of the season. They're at Indiana. Then they get a week off, and they're at Notre Dame. I think Cincinnati's going to come in here with a chip on their shoulder. Their over-under win total is really high, though. It's 10 wins. And the reason I point out the Indiana game, the Notre Dame game, is because they still have to play UCF, but UCF comes there. They've got SMU at the end of the season, and then they've got Tulsa, but both of those games are in Cincy, and Tulsa's going to be tough, too. I'm not going to bet against Cincy, but dang, this team's going to be good. What do you think we're going to be looking at? Cincy, Notre Dame. Let's say it's Notre Dame minus 4. How much hype do you think is going to be around that game when Cincy and Notre Dame play each other?
A lot. Indy's going to beat these guys. That's the bottom line. They'll beat them by 10. I think they're a better football team. This is not a shot at Luke Fickell at all, because I think he's done a really, really good job. And I think he would have done a really good job long-term at Ohio State had he been the football coach long-term at Ohio State. I just think he was a young guy, and he got stuck in a really difficult position. You know, I think Luke Fickell's a great football coach. Look, he has turned down some marquee jobs. I know he turned down Mississippi State. You know, I know he's turned down some really, really good job to stay where he is. The question, I'm fairly certain he turned down Auburn last year. I mean, he clearly thinks Cincinnati's a good deal for him. And I think he thinks he's in a really good situation. And so he clearly believes they've got a good program and a really good foundation. I think losing the defense coordinator is a big deal. I think that guy, he was a phenomenal recruiter. If I'm a Division I football coach, that's a guy I'm targeting as a potential head football coach. You know, if I'm an AD, but again, y'all all know what I think about college ADs if you've listened to this podcast. So clearly they won't target that guy. It'll be 8 years before anybody hires him. But I think he's a good football coach. But I think Luke Fickell's done a great job. At the end of the day, they're not where I think the value is in this league. Man, Sonny Dykes has done a hell of a job in Dallas. We're going to get right back to where I'm living. Sonny Dykes done a damn good job at SMU. He's recruiting well. He's getting some players over some big-time schools. If you're watching recruiting at all in Texas, that over-under win total, 6.5. Man, I like me some smooth at 6.5. I'll take some over. We can study Cincy and UCF, and we can talk about Gus Bus and all those guys. The value's at smooth.
I agree with you. I think Sonny Dykes has done a heck of a job at SMU. He's recruiting well. You know, if you don't know much about Sonny Dykes, he's a Texas Tech kid. His dad was the coach at Texas Tech, coached underneath Mike Leach when he was there.
A legendary coach at Tech.
Oh, yeah.
Mike, you're underselling Spike Dyke. Dude, he was a freaking Texas legend. Legend.
Yes. If you get a chance, go Google some Spike Dyke's press conferences after the game when he talks about, well, we got beat by like a whipped goat, just like a tied up whipped goat in that game. Now, he unique individual, but yeah, did great things for Texas Tech. His son coached under Mike Leach, did great things there. Ended up going to La Tech, did well there. Parlayed that job into the Cal job, and that was a weird fit for him. Got kind of fired left at a weird time in January. Coached, you know, as an assistant for a bit.
Took you mean West time. Texas conservative didn't fit in Berkeley? I mean, come on, Mark.
Probably not. I mean,
come on. Let's just call it what it was. That was a square peg and a round hole.
Yeah. Probably not, but he's there now, and he's at SMU. He's done a good job recruiting. I honestly think next year at this time we'll be talking about him being the head coach at Texas Tech University, because I don't think Matt Wells is going to get it done. And this guy has been recruiting well. He's going to take Tech home. He's going to get there. I love the 6.5 over-under win total. Two things I like about this team: they return a lot of players, but then they got two new players. They bring in we lose Sam Bichelle to the NFL, and they bring in Tanner Mordecai, who is the backup quarterback at the University of Oklahoma for a while. And he comes in there.
Couldn't agree more.
And I think he is going to cause major problems in this conference. And not only that, he brings over his tight end, Calcaterra, with him, who had retired from football for a period of time. And this guy was a beast in the Big 12. He's uncoverable from a linebacker perspective, and he causes problems with the safeties because of his size. I think he's going to shred this conference. He's had concussion issues, but everything I'm reading so far makes it sound like he's back. He's ready to go. They've got the talent to get it done. I like this team a lot. 6.5 wins. SMU is one of the first bets I made all season. I love Smoo this season. I am so excited to watch them play football.
Look, Mark, I say this all the time. Look, recruiting is where wins and losses are made. And everybody's like, oh, it can't all us. Look how many 3-stars get drafted in the first round. Well, there's only X number of 5-stars and X number of 4-stars every year. Well, hell yeah, there's more 3-stars that are successful. If you follow recruiting at all, you understand that. It's a bunch of nitwits or, oh, I want 3-stars. Well, guess what? Everybody signs a bunch of 5-stars, kicks your 3-stars ass every week on Saturday. So just FYI, get some talent. Again, everybody like me transition to Mississippi State, so I won't disappoint you. Just FYI, Fletcher Cox was a 4-star. Chris Jones was a 5-star. Hey, those guys pan out. It is what it is. It's college football. Those guys are talented. Sorry that you don't like it, that your school can't recruit well, but it is what it is. And you look at recruiting position strength, 3 for Tanner Mordecai. That means he was the third-rated quarterback coming out of the country. And then your boy, tight end, Grant Calcaterra, 9th. When was the last time you saw an ace, an AAC tight end and quarterback that were 3 and 9 in the country? They're going to be more talented than anybody they play every week. Bottom line, and this is a team that's supposed to win 6.5 games, chalk me up on the over.
I'm with you. I like it all the way around. SMU in that spot. Scotty, what else you got in the AAC?
You know what? Memphis is one of those teams that everybody's loving on. They love them. And I think a lot of that is they've been successful. But who they've been playing and – you know, I think they've had some situational wins. And this year, that number's big, 8.5. And they're at Arkansas State. I think everybody, I candidly think everybody's expecting them to beat Mississippi State. And I think that's possible week 3. It's certainly not undone. They beat Ole Miss a couple of years ago. But I don't think they're going to. UTSA is much better than people think. I think people are chalking that up as a win. I think UTSA can win that. Then they're at Tulsa. That's a loss. They're at UCF. I think that's a loss. They're at Houston. That's probably a loss. Got SMU at home. They got East Carolina. They got a lot of teams at home I think they can lose to as well. The bottom line is I see more than 4 losses on the schedule. Color me under on Memphis.
Yeah, I agree with you. They got a new quarterback.
Too many toss-ups for a team that's going to win 9-10 games.
New quarterback this season. Don't get wrong. They had the same quarterback forever under Stocksell. I like Stocksell a lot as a coach, but finally having a new quarterback in there is going to be interesting in the AAC. And there's big talent gaps, Scott. But one team I want to tell you about Memphis.
One thing about Memphis before we transition: kid named Rodriguez Clark, running back. Kid that is from my hometown growing up in Mississippi, good, talented player. I actually think he's a guy that could put up some big numbers. A guy, again, that Southern Miss, schools like that have normally signed. I think that's going to be You're going to hear me talk about Southern Miss over the next 2-3 years. I'm going to tell you, because I think Will Hall is a phenomenal, phenomenal hire for them. His dad was a legendary Mississippi coach. I think Will Hall's a great coach, super good guy, has had success everywhere he's been. Southern Miss couldn't have hired a better guy. They're going to start getting the Rodriguez Clarks, all the guys that Memphis has been making a huge success with for Mississippi. That's why I am down selling Memphis over the next couple of years, because Southern's going to start keeping those guys at home that Memphis has been making a living off of. Rodriguez Clark is one of those guys.
Scott, I know you've got another little hot pick in your pocket, because we talked about it before getting the show ready. We talked about the American. You got to go back to one of our favorite players and one of our favorite coaches wearing the purple and gold, representing a state that does not exist, and that would be East Carolina. And let's see what they're going to do.
I love me from East Carolina. What I like is Mike Houston. And look, I thought they were better last year. I thought they played well. They won their last two games, beating Temple, SMU late in the year. They got better. I expected them to be better than they were early in the year, but COVID threw them off. I think Mike Houston's a great football coach, did a phenomenal, phenomenal job at James Madison. That program is now championship subdivision power that he built. And I just think people miss that. They got 20 starters back. They got tons of players back. And then you look at this schedule, they got Appy State in Charlotte. And I will tell you, I think that's a game they can win. I don't think they will, but I think it's a game they can. South Carolina at home is upset city, baby. You got a South Carolina team with a first-year head coach, changing systems, everything's changing over. Don't count them out. You got Marshall at Marshall with another first-time head coach. And I like Charles Huff. This isn't a shot at Marshall, Charles Huff, but he's a first-time head coach. And here's Mike Houston with all these players back. This is what you need to get upsets early in a season. And then to get Charleston Southern at home and Tulane at home, I like this football team. It is possible those first 5 weeks. But I think they're rolling out of that with 3 wins, and they get used to it. I think it's the worst team in this league. I'm not a Rod Carey fan. Wasn't when he was playing in the MAC. I think he did a poor job. And boy, I think he's doing a poor job at Temple. They're at Memphis, at Navy, and then school. But at the end of that, I think Navy's not going to be a good football team. They got Temple at home, they got USF at home, and I don't think either one of those are good football teams. At the end of the day, I think 4.5 is a good bet for ECU. I think this team's got a real chance to get bowl eligible.
And they've also got
– real chance to get bowl eligible.
They've got cheap man's Tim Tebow and Holton Ahlers playing quarterback for them. And we've been rooting for this kid since he was a freshman, and I'm hoping he finally gets it done this season and comes around to play. I'm excited to see what he's going to do. I agree with you, the ECU. I think they've got a chance to get there. And you know, let's see if we can roll the dice and make a little money. There's some bad teams in this league. Like, as much as we talk about
bad
Army,
team.
Much as we talk about Army, Navy's going to be terrible this season, I think.
I think they're bad. I think USF's bad. I mean, there are some bad teams. I think Tulane's going to be average at best. And you know I love their head football coach. I think they're average at best. I mean, there are some bad. I think Temple's terrible.
I may hurt your feelings a little bit. I think Tulane is under 5 wins this season. I think Willie Fritz, this might be the end of the Willie Fritz era at Tulane.
Well, I think Fritz has got a tough schedule.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, who signs up UAB as a non-conference guy for Tulane? I mean, who's AD running this? I'm telling y'all, if I mean this, and look, I've talked to a lot of Mississippi State ADs, I know some of those guys well. Don't know John Cohen at all, but the previous guys I've known pretty well. But I'm telling you, it's hard to schedule football games for Mississippi State because we're good enough. The good teams don't want to come there, and they want returns. And then you don't want to go to a bad football team and play it. Who in the hell thinks that UAB, you need, like at Tulane, oh, yeah, well, we need, that's a home and home we need to get. Well, you get no upside there. UAB's going to probably pound those guys. You know, it's, I think as a whole, ADs are really bad. I don't think they understand scheduling. I understand there's a lot of money that goes on and involved, what you got to pay, you got to balance your budgets, all of those things. But at the end of the day, make your team win and money evens out.
I would agree.
Set your schedule better.
I would agree with that. Scott, we've knocked it out, had a good time. We did two conferences. We got a few conferences left, then we'll be ready for week zero. Trying to put it out there, put some playable action in there. You got a favorite play in the totals that we've talked about with Whiskey, Memphis, ECU, SMU. Talked about a few others in the Big Ten, Indiana that we're going to fade, Illinois that we're kind of high on. Who's your favorite?
Yeah, I got two. I think Whiskey and Smoot, both those teams overperformed. They have overperformed exactly what those numbers are under their current head coaches. And I think both those numbers are solid bets, and I like them.
There we go, folks. Hey, hit us
up. I'm telling you, I think Dykes is doing a damn good job in Dallas. I think he's doing a really, really good job. I think Smoot should – I think Texas Tech should have hired him when they hired Wells. And at the end of the day, I think I agree with you. He's their next head coach. If he leaves, because there's a lot of Smoot alums throwing a lot of money at him, he may not leave. And I know that sounds crazy, but he's got an easier job. I think Smoot job's an easier job than the Tech job. And especially not knowing what's going to happen with the Big 12. And we hadn't even talked about Oklahoma and Texas. We may have to do a podcast just on that.
Folks, it's been fun. You can hit him up at ScottDenson1. I'm at NetMark. That's ATNIPPMARC. Or you can hit us up on the crazy sheet on Twitter. We'll try to answer all your questions together. But we're going to have a good season. I can feel it. It's rolling. There's going to be some weird COVID stuff that still happens. We're going to try to be on top of it. All we're trying to do is give you guys some research to do some actionable bets and go out and do some digging yourself. It's a lot of fun. We love you having you.
Love Hold on, before we sign off.
Yeah.
How much do you think one of us is going to bitch when a team we had picked gets canceled for COVID? Because they're not rescheduling a game and we get a full-on cancel. Because somebody's not been vaccinated or whatever. How much do you think I'm going to bitch on Monday?
So let me tell you this one story, and then we'll sign off. this is true fact. I had bet, and I'm not a – I mean, just so folks know, like a wager for me is somewhere between 100 to 200 to 500 bucks. And I had bet 500 bucks on North Carolina's over-under win total. It's seven games a few seasons ago. And they won eight games. And one of their games got canceled due to a hurricane. So when I showed up at the Pepper Mill in Reno to cash my ticket, they would not cash it. They refunded it because one of their games got canceled because they didn't play all 12 games. And I can tell you, I was super hot pissed.
And they still paid more.
I'm standing in the sports book. I'm standing there.
How did I not know that story?
I had to get my wife to send me a picture of the ticket because I forgot to bring it. And I'm standing there in the casino in the sportbook manager's office, you know, pleading my case that North Carolina won eight games, even though they played an 11-game schedule. And I could not get paid out of my bet, but they refunded my money. It's the damnedest thing I've ever seen. So, that being said, we will try to do our best to keep people aware of COVID and what's going on and teams and things of that nature because I think it's still going to be weird this year. I've talked to doctors today that are canceling surgeries.
Oh, it's going to be a hot mess.
Yeah, that are canceling surgeries because hospitals are full again with the Delta variant. And so one thing I will say to this, and I bet it today, I took the over-under win total on Ole Miss at 7.5, and here's why. They have completely bought into what Lane Train is selling. They are 100% vaccinated, and that team is ready to roll and improve. And that showed me that they have bought into what he is selling, and he's got that thing going.
Look, I didn't need him to buy in. I was already bought in. I'm telling you, he's a great fit for the Rebels. I've said it the entire time. That there's very few coaches hires that are better for the fan base and the coach's personality than the Ole Miss Lane Kiffin marriage. They will win more than 8 games.
I
believe that. I really do.
Folks, hit us up on Twitter. Give us some reviews. We love to hear from you. Good, bad, and different. We still like it. As the season gets rolling and we get back into our rhythm, it'll be good. We're still debating about if we're going to do one show or two a week, trying to figure out what we're going to do with all the midweek games as they get started later in the fall. But either way, I can guarantee you, if you're driving to work on Thursday morning, you'll be able to listen to the Crazy Sheet and have a good time and get ready to get actionable. With that being said, we'll sign off. Thank you for your votes. Thank you for your love. And thank you for your tweets. Talk to you next time.